Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston. I apologize, we had a bit of a technical glitch there for a second. And somebody forgot to turn my office line off. I'm going to do that right now. I apologize once again. Welcome back to the show after about a 30 to 90 day break. First off, I want to take a little bit of a moment to welcome BBS Radio back onto the airwaves after a tragic situation with the California fire. So I'm glad to see everybody's up and running again. And tonight we're just going to recap what happened in 2018, where we went, how we've advanced, and the guest lineups that are going to be coming for the New Year's show, as well as my new guest lineups that are going to be running in January of 2019 and February of 2019, as well as a lot of other things that are going out there. So it's going to be kind of a passive, laid-back, Merry Christmas show for everybody that is listening. And for those that are not, you can always replay it during the holidays, or at least I hope you will. So Paranormal Truth and Reality started off about 2.5 to 3.5 years ago now. We started BBS roughly about 2 years ago, and we've had an incredible ride throughout the past 2 years, getting some very wonderful guest lineups that have been from college universities. In fact, I've had some Roman priests from the Colosseums themselves and the area of Rome, and I've had some archdioceses on here. I've had some very interesting authors on here. So let's talk about that a little bit. We started off interviewing mostly paranormal investigators. And there was a reason behind that. I wanted investigators to start explaining the reality of the paranormal and to start discussing the paranormal in itself and what they do and get into some equipment and get into some other fascinating things. And it worked very, very well. Excuse me. And then after that, what we ran into was I wanted to get some of the guest perspectives. So we started to get other people that owned the haunted homes that had been on many, many television shows telling their actual stories on and off throughout the years that a lot of people have heard and seen. But we needed to advance a little bit more past the paranormal. So we decided to actually move into some metaphysical situations, some quantum physics situations, some very fascinating stories from authors that talk about how they combine self-help and healing with the paranormal. We ventured off into UFOs and started to talk to some major people throughout the UFO industry, including Stephen Hudgens, which is a wonderful gentleman, ran the National MUFON District for a while and then ran the Texas District for a while for MUFON. We branched off and did some cryptid studies, and we are going to have some people in next year that are going to work on that a little bit as well. I've got some wonderful people, including a gentleman that has spent the past 23 years studying the crystal skulls. I've got another gentleman that's an archaeologist in Egypt that's going to be joining us. And forgive me if I don't mention their names yet, because obviously I want you to be surprised there. But this archaeologist has been studying the hieroglyphs for roughly about 22 years. And he has had some brief pieces on television where he's confirmed some things on some shows that there are possibilities some of these things could be linked to a lot of different things. We're actually going to be covering the ghost field again with some fairly well-known names. I won't give any of the releases on those names yet, but you're going to be quite fascinated. And I've got the great privilege of announcing that mid next year, we're actually going to have some fairly well-known television stars that are going to be joining us for episodes to talk about their paranormal and beyond experiences. Some of these stars have claimed to see UFOs, and this is the first or second time they've only talked about it. A few of these people you've actually seen as stars talk about it on a regular television series where they had a chance to talk about their paranormal experiences. And even a couple of them have been on a couple of psychic medium shows, but it'll be kind of a fun experience for everybody to tune in on. So what did we do when we started to advance past the paranormal world? Well, we wanted to talk about subject content like we just covered. We branched off and actually did a sub area called Generation Truth, which has been videotaping all across the United States with the great privilege of meeting some wonderful people from the World's National Ghost Hunt, Gavin Kelly and Paula Purcell from the Paranormal Journeys into the Unknown and Joe Vitale. Many, many other paranormal investigators in that process. We visited Waverly Mansion, Ohio State Reformatory, Post Town, Hinsdale House. Oh, you name it. We've been to almost everywhere. And we're going to advance on that journey a little bit further. We have officially started a tech company, or rather, I should say, I'm helping start this technical company. And what we hope to be the world's largest Walmart for the paranormal and beyond. Yes, that's right. I said Walmart. Great store, but we want to compete in the ghost world a little bit and give you another option outside of the sites that you're looking at out there, as well as some of the other places like hunting and fishing and so forth. So I'm proud to announce GhostSite.com, created originally as an idealism from Joel Myers. We picked up on that through Paranormal Truth and Reality and Generation Truth, and we're making it happen. GhostSite.com will be officially and fully launched before January 1st, if everything works out right. And we've already sold quite a lot of product to people across the world for Christmas. What do we carry there? Well, that's a good question. We have some interesting products that are just coming out. We have the NICAM 3. The NICAM 3, so that everybody knows, is a fully operational night vision and full spectrum 1080 HD and 4K camera that is highly competitive with the GoPro out there. It has all the same functions as GoPro, but we've added night vision and 4K night vision to that. We can actually include its own harness and availability there. And it's very, very portable, lightweight, comes with its own waterproof case, the whole nine yards. On top of that, we have our own camera rigs and our own professional camera equipment that we'll be selling. And virtually everything in the ghost hunting need world and beyond. So I encourage you to actually look at that. We're putting up some products on the storefronts. This weekend, actually, we're going to be working on that. Should start and launch within at least, I would say, 100, 150 products. By the middle of January to February, I'm looking for that to be 500 to 600. And by the middle of next year, you're talking about anywhere from 1,000 to 20,000 products that you can search in any given time. So that is kind of a rough draft of the quick run-throughs on what we've been doing so far. Now, Paranormal Truth and Reality on top of that has also covered a lot of very interesting topics. One of the topics that has been very, very serious and close to home is social media. As all of you know, social media can be a real downer. That's the easiest way to say it. When you're dealing with any particular specialized field, there's a reason for that. Now, none of us, when we first start off in the hunting field or in the television field or in the radio field, we don't know each other. I don't know half of these people from a hill of beans until I get to know them. In return, a lot of assumptions and a lot of ego gets into the way of that. Now, Paranormal Truth and Reality, Generation Truth, and all of my products and designs and all the companies that I'm involved with has always taken what I like to call the neutral route. What does that mean? Well, I'm not going to say anything bad about any of you in the ghost world, because I think all of you are wonderful people. But can I say that in reverse? Well, we ran into a lot of problems. First, so everybody knows, when Generation Truth shot out, our idealism was to start a documentary to give back to the paranormal world that I have been working with for over 23 years. College, universities, paranormal investigators, famous authors, people you know, some people you don't know, and so forth, that have been very wonderful in taking their time for free to educate me. Some of these people have been on television. Some of these people have not been on television. Some of these people have written books and were well known. Some of these people were average people. Some of these people were famous college professors. Some of these people were unknown college professors. But every one of them, when I decided to ask questions, were willing to invite me into their area, tell me and show me their experiences. And I was able to document all of that and learn from it. I wanted to give back by telling those stories. But most of the guys that I know now are very, very busy. That's the easiest way to say it. Because they're out filming their own television shows, or they're overseas doing studies, or they're participating in the newest science project somewhere in MIT or wherever else that is, the whole nine yards, believe it or not, and they simply don't have a lot of time. when they make time, they actually will talk to me. And of course, obviously, some of them are physically coming on the show next year because it takes quite a while to get some of them to say, okay, I have the time, let's do this. So I reached out to the regular paranormal community and we picked a handful of people that seemed to be wonderful investigators. And they were wonderful investigators. But they also, from time to time, had egos about other wonderful investigators. And those investigators may have egos about other wonderful investigators. Because let's face it, we all don't get along. In life, in reality, you're going to like some people, you're not going to like some people. And in the business world, we all have to work together. So I took that over to Generation Truth, as I do with Paranormal Truth and Reality. Why? I don't care if you like Joe or Schmo. My job is to tell the story. Call it a reporter, call it a radio host, call it whatever you want. When I started in journalism a long time ago and then advanced to electronics, we were taught our job was to tell the story. We take the neutral side. Now, I know what you're thinking. You don't see that a lot today. And you're right, you don't. We won't get into politics or anything else, but that is true. You don't see that a lot today on social media. You don't see that a lot today on national news. But the truth is, if you're a proper journalist, you're supposed to take the neutral side. As a storyteller, and what I consider myself to be a proper journalist without the paperwork, because I only took 1 year of journalism, my job is to just tell your story. Now, when I did that, I got attacked a lot of times. And I got a lot of respect from many, many other people because I don't fall into all of that drama, all that social media, all that nonsense. I just walk away from it. If you can't take a compliment, then that's your fault, not mine. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm always going to be upfront about it, and I'm always going to be nice about it. That's just the way I work. Sometimes people just simply don't want to register that, and that's okay, I suppose. It's no big deal. But so we advance off of this a little bit. I have about 10,000 hours of video. I intend to put that into many, many videos. Some of it you'll see on YouTube. Some of it you'll see at the cons this year and next year and the following year. We weren't planning on putting on television, so I don't plan to look for it on television because it's mostly an educational experience that I wanted to go through. And it was very, very learning. I met some wonderful people. So let's give a shout out to those people for Christmas here in the first half hour of the show. I'm going to go through a list. If I forget anybody, I apologize, but you'll know I'm talking about you anyway. I met wonderful people like Lori Johnson, Rick McClellan, David Oman, Gavin Kelly, Paula Purcell, George Shoplin, Kenny Zink. I'm losing my voice here, guys, so I certainly apologize. James Creechbond Jr., which is actually on a show himself against me right now, and I hope he's doing very well, actually. It's only his second show on a network, so everybody give a shout out to him, and he runs 2 hours, so when you're done with me, look him up, go to his, listen to the second half of the show. On top of that, we have Joe Thompson, John Griffiths, Terry Rowe, Kelly Berg. We have Ron Cross. Ron Cross has been a delightful man and a very educated man. Ron, if you're listening tonight, I apologize. I haven't had a chance to call you, but I will call you this weekend to wish you a very Merry Christmas. Just a phenomenal amount of people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. We've got, Josh Bender from Deadlight, Justin Brown, who helps Josh Bender, Austin Maynard. Those of you that don't know Austin Maynard, and there's a replay on WCGT that I will probably hand it off to Donald here to replay on for Paranormal Truth and Reality in one of the times that I'm off. Austin Maynard owns a very small tour company that's getting very popular with Karen Bryan, Ohio. Now, one of the things we're doing here with Ghost Site in many locations, not just Bryan, Ohio, is we're actually helping people open up proper stores to sell equipment, and we're putting our equipment in those stores. Rather than go the Walmart route, which eventually I'm sure we probably will, and knowing that we're going to get internet sales, which I know we're going to do because we already shot out the doors making a bundle off of that without the site even going up, we decided that we're going to take some of these small businesses and we're going to give back and hopefully support them and get GhostSite's name out there and show people the equipment. Bryan, Ohio has to date, I do believe, 4 to 6 haunted buildings. Tennessee Rate Chasers has been out there. Ghost Brothers has been out there. There are several other people that are going out there here in a little while. Those are just a handful of the people. Those of you that don't know Tennessee Rate Chasers, they actually do Haunted Live on the Travel Channel. Wonderful guys, by the way. If you ever get a chance to go to one of their events, I do encourage you to do that. Very down to earth, very nice people. We've been working with Austin Maynard at Bryan, Ohio. Gosh, the list goes on and on and on, to be frankly upfront with you. But I want to give a shout out to everybody out there, Lori Johnson, all of my compatriots that have listened to me, all the people that are listening now, a very Merry Christmas. Whatever holiday you have, happy holidays. And I want you to enjoy that holiday, and I want you to think back on it a little bit. You know, one of the things that I've seen, and this is off the paranormal topic, but I do think it's very important for everybody to listen to and understand. One of the things I've seen, especially over social media, in the past 4 weeks to 5 weeks, 6 weeks, is not really talking about that Christmas spirit and what humanity is about. I've seen a lot of people pointing out how such and so griped about this Christmas song, or how Mr. President did this, or how this is derogatory and this and this and this. And you know what, guys? Remember what Christmas is about. Rather than go out, and you'll see this on my page if you look on Facebook, rather than go out there and preach all of that negativity right now that we get all year long, let's have some fun. Remember those days when you were a little kid? You were 6 years old, 5 years old. You woke up. You were starry-eyed. Santa Claus came. Santa Claus came. And you went out to open those presents. And you opened those presents. Do you remember how you felt that day? Now think about when you were a parent. Those of you that haven't had children, think about what your parents felt like when that happened. Think about all those happy memories every year that you had. I don't know about you, but the first year my child opened up gifts, it almost made me want to cry. And it still does every single year. But do I stop there? No, I don't. So let me tell you what I do. After we open our presents here, I go to another family that I know. We open presents there. But do I stop there? No, I don't. Let me tell you what I do. Once I'm finished with that, I go find some people that I see on the streets, and I give them presents too. And do you know why I do that? Not because I have to, not because I want to, and not because I need to, but because that's what humanity is. And those are the things that we're forgetting today. That when something happens, our job is to help, not hinder, not gripe, not complain. That when the proverbial hits the fan, what should we do? Should we run away? Should we complain about it and do nothing? No. We help our fellow Americans. We help our fellow humans. We help people. And that's what Christmas is really about. Whether you believe in religion, whether you don't believe in religion, whatever you believe in, your heart should be in the right place in this holiday. So take something from this show right off the bat, and that is, you know, social media can be a very negative place. And in society today, there's a lot of things we can't control. And there's a lot of things we wish we could do more on. But what do you remember the most in tragedy? Do you remember the people that complained about the tragedy? Or do you remember how we all came together? I know that BBS Radio had a moment that was really rough for them, along with many, many people in California. And you know what? If people would not have came together, the station probably wouldn't be on right now. There's a lot of people there that wouldn't have had homes. There's a lot of people out there that wouldn't have a Christmas. And those are the things that we should be doing. We can't control the world. We can't control the negativity. We can't control what we see on social media, even when all of it is really the truth. And let's face it, it's not. What we can control is how we treat each other. On to other things. What is in store for January? Well, I have an excellent lineup that I'm working on. I have World's Largest Ghost Hunt coming out in January. I'm going to be working with Donald, actually, because I have a mobile station, and we're going to be broadcasting live from locations on Friday from time to time through BBS Radio. So you guys are going to have a chance to actually be at a real famous haunted location, Comic-Cons and otherwise, while we're there presenting Paranormal Truth and Reality, ghostsite.com. And guess what? We might even have a few people jump in and you go, hey, I've seen that person before. So you'll want to stay tuned for that because it's going to be very, very amazing. What else are we going to do? Excuse me, a bit of a cough today, but you know, it's the weather. I am going to have a lineup of people that are going to amaze you. So I'm going to mention, I probably should because they're going to raise Cain with me until their agent says yes. But let's just talk about it this way. Many of you within the mid-generation know many, 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 many people. A lot of these people are very well known to be at Comic-Cons and very well known to be on television shows. And I've got the great privilege of having a few of them on there. So let's mention the television shows because I can do that. I'm going to have the wonderful privilege of having several guests on that have been on The Walking Dead. I am going to have the great privilege of having several guests on that have been on, believe it or not, Star Trek. Yay! Even though I won't give you the names. I am going to have the great privilege of having on several people that have been on Ghost Hunters. Ooh, that's a pretty awesome one right there if you guys are paranormal people. I have the great privilege of having one guest that is going to be on that was on the one, the only Farscape. On top of that, we've actually got some comic artists that are going to be joining us. They're going to be talking about their paranormal experiences and why they drew the comics that they did and the haunted experiences that they did on paper. So I want you to pay close attention to that. Go to your local comic book stores, do some research. There's a couple of these people that have actually created characters and drew for many, many years about ghosts and other paranormal related subjects. And it's my great privilege to say in January, we are going to have, probably not January, I think that one's February or March. I'd have to look at my schedule, but it's going to be my great privilege to say that we're going to have these people on. It's taken a lot of work to do so, working through the loops, working through the agents and so forth, but it's been a wonderful experience doing so. So we've got live presentations. We've got, I think I've covered everything in almost 30 minutes here. So let's just get down to some chat. Paranormal. What is unique about the paranormal and what can we discuss that's very interesting? Well, let's take a step back and let's start talking about the mechanics a little bit. I have seen a lot of people quite recently that have discussed the ins and outs of several things. And of course, some of you listeners that have listened to me throughout the year, this is a recap on this, by the way, that are mispresenting the paranormal reality. So I'm going to present it to you here. Now, I know this is going to annoy some people if you're listening, but I apologize for that. And I'm not going to mention any names right off the bat because there's no reason to. But here's the deal. Television and networks do expect specific things when they're looking for shows. And the reality is only 1% to 2% of everybody that gets in the paranormal field that does YouTube, that does Amazon streaming, that does Netflix, it doesn't matter what you do. Roughly about 1% to 2% of those ever get on television. That's a fact of life, contrary to what anybody believes. Now, what does happen? Well, some people do sign contracts to go on television, and they do very good at it. Tennessee Ray Chasers is a wonderful example of that. They have a wonderful television show. Now, what happens is the agencies that sign them and the networks that sign them will always sign other people through interview processes. So that way, if anybody drops, they can fill a spot. If they're looking for a new show, they can fill a spot. If they're looking for a new idealism, they can fill a spot. Does that mean that your group or team is going to get on air with what you have? The answer is probably not. The reason you're going through the interview process is you might have a chance. You might have a chance. Now, there is a handful of production companies that actually work this a little bit differently by looking at the finished product of a show. You submit the show to them, just like you do the back-end portal of Discovery Network, Travel Channel, and all the others. And yes, there is a back-end portal that you set up. You submit your work. It goes through a process. If they like it, they will send you a contract. 99% of the time, that contract does state they are going to take control of those rights. You have to figure out how to separate those rights properly. For instance, the name of your show or idealism and the idea of your show and your team can be two different things. They want your show, not your team, and so forth. When that process happens, then you have the ability to actually run forward. So that's the whole television process. Once you're in TV, what happens? Well, contrary to the belief, it's not me and five other guys running around with action cameras, me or five other guys running around with a handheld camera in the middle of the day or night in night vision filming. It's different than you out there on YouTube filming yourself. It's different than you out there on YouTube putting your stuff together. So I've had many discussions on how reality TV works. So let me just tell everybody so that you know a little background on me, okay? I've worked in media and marketing for 30 years. A portion of the media and marketing when I wasn't learning other tasks like running wires for television shows as a B crew or so forth was running the marketing and numbers to make sure that these things worked, commercials, TV shows, and otherwise. As a part of that, I have, believe it or not, had the privilege of sitting behind the scenes while things like reality TV shows get filmed. They invited me on set. I got to sit down. I got to see the directors. I got to see how it works. I got to see the people. And most reality TV shows are not actors. Most. Some of them are actors that went into reality TV. Some of them are just normal people. So how does reality TV kind of work when you're pushing the show? I did a statement on a feed one time and I got yelled at for it, but it's a true statement, just so everybody knows. The networks do not have a hold on what you say when the camera rolls. That's why it's reality. Everything that happens when the camera rolls is 100% real. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, bull crap. Nah, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Does that mean that gets on TV? The answer is no. Of course it doesn't. Some of it's going to be entirely too boring. Some of it is going to be, well, let's just face it, you can't put those words on TV. It's going to be too dangerous. Even if you bleep them out, there are some things you just can't put on TV. Which is why if you look really closely, some of these shows have additional cuts that you can buy on DVD. Or in some cases, I think you can buy into programming on certain cable networks, and you'll have Jerry Springer is a prime example. Jerry Springer behind the scenes. There's a lot of things you could put on. That was full reality TV once the air ran. So how do you control this situation? Well, networks have guidelines in place. Now, those guidelines state, obviously, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. No showing drugs on air, no alcohol, blah, 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 blah. But you can give the insinuation that alcohol was used and give the insinuation that drugs were used. You know, all of these things. And then there's the other situation, which I like to explain to everybody, and I can't explain on social media, but I can to you now. If my name is Bob, and my name is, and my brother's name is John, and they're here to film Bob and John's family, and they know Bob and John doesn't get along, all it takes is just a little bit of coercing when the cameras aren't there. Now, what do I mean by that? Okay, Bob. Now, you know your brother John doesn't like it. He's been saying a few things. So I want you to keep your temper in check because we are going to be filming all of this, okay? Then you go over to John and you say the same thing. Now, all Bob and John heard was my brother was saying something bad about him. Bam, you sparked the fire that you needed. That's just the way it works. Now, every now and then, a couple of these reality shows have done a few things they shouldn't. When you're talking about weight loss and a few other things, and they've been caught for it and bit in the butt for it. And, you know, that's all a part of the process. That's all a part of things, but those are the realities that you're looking at. It is not quite what you think. Now, when you're dealing with the paranormal, if you honestly think these guys are running around with a one handheld camera all the time, filming, and then, gee, this is what we got, and we put it together on our own, and this is the reality and the truth of things, you are wrong. If you talk to these guys behind the scenes a lot of times, there are camera guys always behind them. Now, they do have chances to go off on their own with the camera, and that's also in the shows. And a lot of times they are scared for the simplest things in the world. They aren't lying when they're out there to search for ghosts, but they are looking for the best parts, the best storylines, and the best things to cover. This is what makes good TV. So they don't care about your whole history, even though you can give it to them, because the whole history is not what's going to sell when it's on the air. I know this annoys people sometimes. Locations will 100% agree with me, but that's just the way it is, man. That's TV. This is why I'm not on TV, by the way. Of course, I'm also an ugly mug. That's why I'm not on TV. If you've ever seen my picture, you know that. So what happens is a lot of times the camera crews will go in. They'll be in a darker dress so that they're not noticeable and sitting in the background. Some of them do actually have camera face covers to go over top of the camera itself so that they can sit there fully dark, in night vision, getting the best shots with the night vision lights and whatever else reflects those shots so that they can film and the people feel like they're still alone. If they're following the person, they're physically following the person. Why do you think you always saw ghost hunters in the shot? Because there was a camera guy back there, people. That's the way it works. And I know this because I've had the great privilege in the past 4 to 7 months to be behind some of the smaller people trying to build shows, and I've been the camera guy. A lot of what they're using is camera work that I've done, and I've never taken credit for it because I wanted to learn that portion as well. It's all a part of the gig. So when you're thinking that you can go out and do a show and put it on YouTube and you did it all yourself and it's going to go somewhere, you're probably wrong. Now, that's not discouraging. In fact, I have a great, great respect for every person that attempts to do it because it's not easy. Like I said, I've got 10,000 hours of video, guys, and I went through maybe 200 hours of it in total in a month. In a month to get the best footage for what I'm doing. Putting together a 2-hour documentary to air in a year is not an easy task alone. You got to have the right music, the right editing, the right camera angles. If you miss something, you got to put it on your schedule to go back and catch the right angles, catch the right shots on the buildings. That takes more time. If the interview didn't work out, you got to figure out how to separate that audio, clear the audio up, put the audio back in. You've got to get the right edits, the right bleed-throughs. It's not easy to put together. It's not easy to put together a 30-minute or 1-hour segment on YouTube. So I have the utmost respect for all of you doing that. And some of you do it so well that, yes, eventually you'll get a shot on Amazon, you'll get a shot on Netflix, or the handful of you get an offer for the possibility of a television show. Usually it starts as a guest appearance. They'll say, hey, we want to put you on the Travel Channel or the Discovery Channel for 1 or 2 episodes during the holidays or during this or during that. If you do well, then we'll visit a contract. Let's get you something else. Your first show generally doesn't do as well as Ghost Hunters did. Most of these people that have been out there for a while would admit that. You'll get your approval. You're going to go out. You're going to do your 2 or 3 years. And then you're going to find out that 2 or 3 years may not get renewed. So now you're back on the market. You got to come up with a new idealism. And bam, if you're lucky, you're back in another show. And then the process goes on and goes on and goes on and goes on. This is called Hollywood. That's the way it works. So anybody out there that thinks that, well, I put together my 6 episodes, my 10 episodes on YouTube, I put my 1 year of episodes out on Amazon, I know how it goes. You don't know what you're doing. You're wrong. You don't know how it goes yet. You will, and keep doing what you're doing because that's a wonderful thing. And I've seen a lot of your shows. You improve as you go. That's a part of the process. You figure out how to edit and make things better. That's a part of the process. And you're very wonderful at doing it. In return, eventually, after about 3 or 4 years of doing it, you get noticed for that. You get people that contact you every now and then and say, I want to personally interview you. I want to talk about a contract or so forth. And a lot of those don't go anywhere. But you get that. As you keep going, they'll keep coming back. You'll keep getting better. You'll keep getting better. And you'd be surprised how well you do. And hey, you know what? If you don't get on TV, who cares? You did what you liked. You had fun at it. It was a blast, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but I have a blast doing what I'm doing. I worked for 32 years. I did the daily in, daily out, worked at the corporations, daily in, daily out. I've worked for other people daily in, daily out, blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I didn't start having any fun in my life until I started doing what I wanted to do. Now I'm having a blast, guys. I really don't care if I'm on National Airwaves. It'd be nice, but I really don't care if I'm on National Airwaves. I really don't care if I ever go on TV, though yes, so that everybody is aware, I have been offered a chance to do some brief bits that hopefully if they don't end up on the cutting floor, will end up on television. Nothing big, by the way. I don't want anybody to think of getting a big head by that. They needed filler slots because next year they're losing a few people that are regular interviewees. So they're interviewing a lot of different people for very small 10, 15-minute segments to go along with some of their shows. I was one of the grateful people to get to the final interviews on that. They said, hey, we'll film you. If it goes well and it fits with it, we'll put you in. If not, congratulations, you're going on the cutting floor, and we'll pay you. I'm cool with that either way, man. You just paid me. So this is what you need to be concentrating on. Fame is just fame. In the long run, fame is not important. In the long run, whether you're known or not is not important. Now, granted, when you die, if you're anything like me, you would like to think you made an impression that will last forever. But let me ask you this question. How many people, if you were to sit and think today, anybody that's listening, take a piece of paper and put it in front of you. All right? Now get your pen and put it in front of you. I want you to think, how many people do I remember that are famous from 5 years ago? Or important from 5 years ago? Now, when you're done with that, I want you to go back and go, how many people do I remember that were important 10 years ago? Now go back 15. Now go back 20. Now go back 25. Now go back 50. Now go back 100. The further you go back, the one thing that you're going to learn is the only things that we remember are artists, the occasional philosopher, if you're smart, and those people that impacted the whole world. When they were doing that, do you think they ever cared about being famous? If you were to sit down with Mozart today, do you think he knew he was going to be famous this far along? How about Picasso? Did he concentrate on fame? The answer is no. He didn't. Just like discovery with Tesla, the Wright brothers, Albert Einstein, they did not concentrate on the fame. They concentrated on their passion and what was important to them. And if you're in the ghost hunting field, that's what you should be concentrating on. What's important to you? What can you have fun with? Because I'm going to tell you, the fame game, it's a joke, brothers. It's okay if you want to be famous. It's okay if you want to shoot for that. It's okay if you want to look for that. There's nothing wrong with that. You can set that in your goals. But the reality is, when you're dealing with a sea of billions of people, will you ever get extremely famous? Well, probably not. But if you do, great for you. It's not what the most famous people were looking for. Even your actors today, if you were to sit down with a good percentage of them, and I actually had the privilege about 7 months ago to sit down with an actor that's fairly well known. He's on a television show right now. He's very well respected by many, many women. I talked to him for about 20 minutes on the phone because I'm actually going to be going to see him and one other person after they stop filming here in the summer. And I asked him, did you ever expect to be where you are right now? And he said, let me tell you something, man. I never in my life expected to have so many people that love and adore me. You know, when I started off acting, I couldn't even get a movie. People laughed me out of commercials half the time. I lucked into a movie that became a cult favorite. And then I ran from there. So I got this chance at a TV show. And I wasn't doing anything else at the time. And I thought, man, you know, hey, man, that's going to be a regular paycheck for a while. Why not? And now here I am almost 9 years later. And I'm so famous, I can't possibly imagine it in many, many people's eyes. And I still might see myself as that guy with that bike that I had to rebuild just to drive back and forth to the Dairy Mart because I was so poor I could barely eat each day while I was trying to make my career. So think about that a little bit when you're out there, because the paranormal shouldn't be about fame, guys. It should be about your passion, just like anything else. Let's move on to electronics a little bit. I know I've been talking a lot about that, but these are things that have been pondering in my head for a while. So I just wanted to make sure this Christmas that when you're shooting into the new year, every one of you think about this a little bit. Rather than get wrapped up in the drama and the ins and outs and the he said, she said, or the I'm better than you and you're better than me, blah, blah, blahs. Think about that passion and what you should do to succeed. Because once you start enjoying life, you'll find success comes along with it, no matter what you do. It always works out that way, guys. It always works out that way. The most successful people did not get to the point to where they could make success if they didn't enjoy what they're doing. Now, granted, you're going to have complications. You're going to sit there and go, this isn't fun anymore. I got to manage these people. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to make these decisions. Man, my money's going out the window over here. What the heck's going on? But you still enjoyed the process of getting there. And once you've solved those problems, you enjoy the next process. And eventually you get to the point to where you are where a lot of other people are today that are filthy rich. And they're speaking about how business is tough or fame is tough or getting there is tough. But I wouldn't have had it any other way because every step of the way I learned and I enjoyed what I was doing or I would have never done it in the first place. And that's the point. Next year, through Christmas and so forth, enjoy your family and think about what you really want to do for you, not for everybody else. In technology, in our last few minutes here, I'm going to just cover, well, we got a little bit more in a few minutes. I'm going to cover a little bit of that. A lot of people have misassumptions about technology and in the paranormal and the real science of the paranormal. It's been a very big argument for the past year and a half on how the fact that science and the paranormal doesn't mix. Now, the reality is science and paranormal does mix. 90% of science is out there, by the way, guys, is paranormal until it works. Because what is paranormal? Anything unknown that's not plausibly defined by science now. The atom bomb, by the way, was paranormal before it was fixed. Of course, it blew up a nation by the accident they ran into, which is sad. But nevertheless, it was paranormal. Electricity was paranormal until we figured it out. Having the ability to broadcast right now across all of these nations and across digital radio and beyond was paranormal until we figured it out. The common cold, as stupid as it seems, is paranormal. You want to know why? We can't figure out how to cure the common cold, guys. We have no idea how the common cold virus keeps reproducing, changing itself, and getting us sick every year. We have no idea where it came from. We can identify it. We have no idea how to stop it. Guess what? We don't know anything about it except for how to treat the symptoms. It's not defined by medical science. Technically, that's paranormal. Anything not defined by medical science or explanation today is paranormal. Can't figure out the solution for it, it's paranormal. People get that confused. They think paranormal means ghost. It doesn't. Paranormal means anomaly. Unexplained. That's what the paranormal means. We have forgotten that. And science has forgotten that. And we run around with gadgets, by the way, that I'm going to have the great privilege of telling you a little bit about in the next 2 or 3 years, that most got built in the basement, and a good percentage of them don't work the way you think they do. Because we saw it on TV, and again, that makes great ratings, because pretty lights make noises, and pretty lights make noises, then bam. And that's not saying anything bad about the television shows, just so everybody knows. I have some wonderful friends on television shows. They're great people. I'm going to meet many, many more people that have been on TV for many, many years. I have a lot of respect for every one of them. In fact, many of them are going to be at the conventions this year. They work very hard at what they do. They're very proud of it. They're down-to-earth people, so I have nothing against any of them. Contrary to what a lot of other people say on social media and otherwise, you'll find they're good people. And most of them are down-to-earth people. Some of them are gifted. Some of them are really in the search. Some of them, they don't know whether they're in the search or not, but they enjoy what they're doing. That's just the way it is. But the reality is, we don't even know what a ghost is. You know, I did a poll this year, and I asked this repetitively, and I went on almost 120 different radio shows, and I asked even the radio hosts a lot of times of that, and I never got the right answer. So I want you in the paranormal world to ponder this next year and come back to me. What is a ghost? Now you're going to say, it's a person that passed on, intelligent contact with that person, blah, 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 blah. How do you know that? How do you know that's the case? And then you're going to say, well, I got it on EVP. How do you know that EVP is a ghost? Well, because I do. No, you don't. You have to figure out what a ghost is, where it logically comes from, how we define it, and so forth before you can get there. Intelligent communication with someone that passed on does not necessarily mean it's intelligent communication with someone that passed on. If you start looking into quantum physics, you'll understand what I'm saying. But reality is, if everything flows in a certain motion, how do you know you're speaking to the person after he died, when you may very well be speaking to the person before he died in the first place? Or maybe he's not dead because he's living in another portion of that nice little dimension and time and space and how everything flows together. And we just haven't caught up with that yet. Maybe you're talking to something else. We haven't figured out what we're talking to yet. We stopped at the word ghost. There are many different science things that I could get into, but I know that we're into the last 10 to 15 minutes of the show. That's one example of what we're missing in the paranormal world. Now, everybody thinks, well, they want to see the action, they want to see the scares, and they want to see so forth. And let's face it, you're right there. People do like to get afraid, right? I know I like to be afraid. And a lot of what you're seeing in a lot of these areas, if you ever go out into investigations, especially meaning the large ones like Waverly and Ohio State Reformatory, is the fact that your fear is going to set in there. You're going to have a fight or flight feeling somewhere along the line when you're walking around in your own in a very dank, very cold, very dark prison that you know people died in. And it's just the way it works. Or a spooky old building. That's just the way it works. And trust me, I've done 19 isolation sessions over the past year and a half. Every isolation session, and I recorded several of them just out of curiosity, we're still going to be reviewing through that. Every isolation session, after about 15 to 20 minutes, you start hearing everything else around you because it's pitch black. After about an hour, you'd swear if there's any light in the room, you're starting to see shadows move around. After about an hour and a half, you're starting to basically get scared out of your pants because you think you're hearing and seeing things. And after about 30 minutes, after about 2 hours and 30 minutes to 3 hours and 30 minutes, you feel like getting around other people. Why? Because you're in a haunted environment by yourself with the camera aimed at you in the dark with no light with the history you know is there, and it scares the piss out of you. That's human nature. So all of these things come into play. These are also the things we need to define in the paranormal. Is the paranormal real? The answer is yes. There are some things when you're defining this, I'm going to be honest with you guys, you're going to run across things you can't explain. I've got a Class A EVP that came out of the air and carried on a conversation to a point with me and one other camera guy out of the air at a location from nowhere. Nobody in the house but him and me setting up equipment. I've been pushed over. I've been, the back of my shoulder got grabbed one time at a location too and tugged, and I was the only person in the area. So you're going to run into some of this every now and then. And yes, it's unexplainable, but in order to figure out where it's coming from, why it's coming from, if we're truly dealing with the people we think we are that we can call a ghost and so forth, is to start laying down those scientific tables and data to come up with the collective answers to say yes or no. Instead, what are we doing? Arguing amongst each other that things we already know aren't real are real. Arguing amongst each other on things we already know could possibly not be the situation are the situation. And arguing amongst each other from time to time, my evidence is better than yours. So I'm not going to share mine with you because you're going to steal it, and you won't share yours with me because I feel like I'm going to steal it. Well, that's not the case. We need to get back to the basics on collecting data and get along with everybody, because I'm telling you, once you get past all those bubbles, there is the wonderful people, whether it be TV stars, whether it not be TV stars, all over the paranormal world. Great, great bunch of people. I cannot talk nice enough about some of them. And those are the things to remember, just so everybody's aware. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to BBS Radio. BBS Radio is one of the largest radio digital radio stations, rather before their fall. On digital radio, they will be the largest digital radio station coming up here in 2019, once again on the air through many, many locations, including iHeartRadio, if everything works out right and so forth. I do encourage you, if you're going to go with the podcast, come here to BBS. Donald and his brother are wonderful people. They are up and running now. They could use you, obviously, because I need more paranormal shows. Along with other shows, so I do encourage you to do that. Excuse me for the cough here. In the new year, tune in to GhostSight.com for all of your ghost sight, ghost shopping, hunting needs, fishing needs. I think I've even got some cave needs in there and a few other unique things that I think you'll find very interesting, like magnet fishing. So make sure you go there and check out the website. In addition, I will be producing a book called Haunted History from Then Till Now. It's covering the history in a series of books, actually. You're going to see the first one that covers from the 1700s. All the way up until about the mid-1900s. We also have one from the 1900s to now, basically. So two books. And then I'm going to cover a recap on all that in the third book. But the two books I've been concentrating on for the past 2 years, I encourage you to come to the Comic-Cons and the Paracons and the Scarefest this year. You're going to see me and several other people there. I'm actually promoting for several Amazon and other television shows. So you're actually going to start seeing a little bit more information on the promotions for specific people and shows throughout the paranormal world. They'll also be joining us at our booths and so forth that we paid for through next year and the year after when they can, signing autographs, handing out DVDs of their shows so that you can tune in for them, things along those lines. I do encourage you to participate in all of that. And it's my wonderful privilege to let all of you know that we will also be speaking before the end of next year in paranormal education. I'm working with several people right now so that we can set things together to actually give you real scientific history and real paranormal education so that you can move past the TV shows and understand what it really means. And that is the Christmas recap for Paranormal Truth and Reality. I hope everybody tuned in and enjoyed it. Tune in next week. Excuse me, I'm coughing a little bit. I have a very special guest that I'm going to be bringing in if everything works out right, because yes, that's right. We're going to be running into New Year's Eve after that, so we want to have a blowout bash, don't we? And of course, obviously, I'll be back here on BBS Radio, so I want to make sure that everybody knows that. You can catch the rebroadcast through their website. And, of course, I do play the rebroadcasts on my website as well when I download them and put them up, so you can always see all of those. A very, very special in the last couple of minutes that I'm going to discuss with you. And I'm going to open with my tag, or close with my tagline, rather, that I close with all the time. I know you guys have heard this many, many times. In the paranormal, truth should always be that reality. Not all the other stuff. Not all the other nonsense. Not whether you are famous or not. Not whether you get known or not. But the data, the research, the science, the passion, and what you enjoy. Because in the end of that, end of your life, in the end of everybody's life, you can't take things with you. You can't take fame with you. But you can remember all of that before you go. That's our show. I'll talk to you next week. Very Merry Christmas, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.